thank you, Charles, for leading the meeting. Again, thank you all for coming to be with us this evening. We appreciate everyone that has been able to come and to join with us for this special time. I want to bring your attention, as we bring the meeting to a close, to some words in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We have been going through Luke 1 and 2 of the Lord's Day mornings, and on the Lord's Day morning coming, I want to focus on the shepherds, but I want to draw your attention to just a few little details at the beginning of Luke chapter 2 this evening. We'll read from the verse 1. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or enrolled. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come and look at this portion together. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place in the house of God here this evening, and we pray that help will be given for these moments we spend around the Word. O Lord, help us even to overcome all the distractions, and we pray that in these moments that we will hear the Lord's voice ministering to us, and there will be a word from heaven for every waiting heart. Grant help then, we pray, to preacher and to hearer, in our Lord's great name we ask. Amen. Amen. It's a word that will describe most of you this time tomorrow. It will be the word built. And most of you tomorrow will not go hungry. In verse 6, we read, it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. The days were accomplished. That word accomplished means built. The days were built. The days were filled up. It was time for Jesus to be born. And that word is actually one of the key words in these two chapters. We have two references to Zacharias being filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth also was filled with the Holy Ghost. The days of Zacharias' ministration were accomplished. They were filled up. Elizabeth's full term came, that time was filled up. In Mary's song, she talked about a people being filled. We have this detail we want to look at tonight. And then we read about the circumcision of Christ, when the 8 days were accomplished, the 8 days were filled. And then the trip to Jerusalem for the ceremony there, Mary's days of purification were accomplished. They were built. So when we read here at the end of verse 6 that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, it is firstly a reference to Mary reaching full term. So having reached full term, our Lord Jesus was to be born. But more importantly, it's a reference to her reaching God's appointed time. God's appointed time for the Lord Jesus to be born, for the Lord Jesus to be delivered of Mary. Paul explains it over in Galatians 4 and the verse 4. where Paul says, but when the fullness, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. And the Greek word that's used there is related to this one, accomplished, filled up. When the time was filled up, when it had come to the time that God had set, our Lord Jesus came. The time had been fixed from all eternity. And so that night in Bethlehem, the time was reached, and the baby Jesus was delivered. Now, every baby, of course, is conceived and delivered at God's appointed time. Most especially, the Messiah. And there was amazing providences in this passage that we see an operation to bring all of these events to what we know as the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. Of themselves, they would have had no natural desire to go to Bethlehem. Certainly not at a time when Mary was so heavily pregnant. The Lord intervened. God ordered a census. Of course, Caesar Augustus, he called for this census. It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Perhaps he was moved by pride. Perhaps he wanted to bring nations like Israel that were under his governance under more and more dominion. And in fact, this was evidence of the servitude that Israel was under. But God permitted all of that in order to bring his purpose to pass. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. How did God get him there? Through this census. And so God not only, as where ordered the census in his permission, but God ordered the details. That is, each person was to go to the place of their heritage, which brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. So then, the appointed Savior was delivered. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I want to leave three thoughts with you concerning the appointed Savior being delivered. First of all, Christ came on account of the curse. Christ came on account of the curse. This is why it was accomplished that she should be delivered. The word delivered refers to birth pangs. Of course, we have it translated in English. We can quickly pass over all the agony that was involved in that childbirth. But the Greek word that's translated here, delivered, it would direct us right back to Genesis chapter 3. Why is there pain in childbirth? Why did Mary, this young lady, go through all of the agony that night? Was an account of the fall. And though she was giving birth to one that was sinless, as we'll see in a moment, his humanity was real, and therefore she should be delivered. She went through those birth pangs, through the agony of childbirth. I'm thinking about that detail. This word delivered directs us right back to Genesis chapter 3 and the curse. That is why our Lord Jesus came. Our Lord Jesus came because of that curse. So I've already mentioned Galatians 4 verse 4, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman. Now, there is a special emphasis there, of course, that there was a unique aspect to his birth. He didn't have a human father. But made of a woman, made under the law,
to redeem them that were under the law. Those words are directing us to the fact that there's a curse upon creation. Jesus Christ came on account of that curse. He was made under the law. And as he was made under the law, there was all the evidence that he was surrounded by the effects of the curse. So though Jesus himself fulfilled the law perfectly, being made under the law showed that he was in a world of sin, the fall, ruin, curse. You think of the Jewish civil law that our Lord threw up on her. So many details in that law pointed to the reality of people being surrounded by sin. The ceremonial law, so all of the sacrifices, even the sacrifice that would take place in Jerusalem weeks after the Lord's birth, what was that all about? It's because of this problem of sin. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, they reveal sin. Christ came then into a world surrounded by sin. So this very detail, it carries us ultimately to the cross. Because Christ came to die. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3, verse 13. See, that day as Mary went through the agony of childbirth, she gave birth to one that was sinless. One who had never merited the curse to be upon him. And yet, he was brought to the cross. Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Thereby, he redeemed us from curse. Curse, the condemnation, the threat of judgment that hangs over us. It hangs over the natural man. Christ came to take us from under that curse. Came to deliver us from condemnation. And so this little detail is accomplished that she should be delivered. It brings us to the very purpose of Christ coming. And tonight, if there's one in the meeting and you're not converted, here is good news. Christ came to deliver a sinner like you from under that curse. To bring you into peace in Christ. To bring you into that place of forgiveness of sin. Salvation is found then in looking beyond the manger. Looking to the cross. Seeing what Christ did there on the cross for a sinner like you. So we see here Christ came on account of the curse. But I want us also to see that Christ came in a true humanity. Christ came in a true humanity. For when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, we read in verse 7 that the baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. And different writers have made different comments about these swaddling clothes. Some say this was the normal method of clothing babies. Some say it was the method used by the poor. Some say swaddling clothes actually refers to the garments that the dead were dressed in. I think there's something even more basic that we can say about this. That Christ was dressed in swaddling clothes shows us his humanity was real. A newborn baby is wrapped up, is clothed. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came, his humanity was real. He was a true human being.
Yes, he was God manifest in flesh, but there was this true humanity. It's still a true humanity. And therefore, of necessity, the child, the young child, had to be clothed. Now, added to that, there was added humility. For he was then led into an injury. How amazing. Here is the Son of God. But he appears as a little child. He's taken, led into that manger. Most of you know that him who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall. There are many verses in that hymn. But I came across some extra verses a few weeks back. I don't know who wrote these other verses. Person penned these words, "Who is he on manger bed who cannot move or lift his head? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. Who is he that Mary beats? He looks to her for all his needs. 'Tis the Lord. 'Tis the Lord." Can we grasp that? Here is the eternal Son of God. He's appeared among men as a helpless infant. Can you imagine Mary looking into that manger? In the face of that baby, God manifest in flesh. What condescension. Why is it? Is it just for a nice story? Is it just for a nice example? Is it to give us a holiday? It's none of those things. It's the gospel. He's come. The true humanity, but in deep humility, that he might be the true sin debtor, one who can truly represent us. Some of you, I'm sure, know the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" I'm never quite sure what to make of that particular song, but I do like these words in it, where it says, "Concerning Mary, this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. This child that Mary delivered will deliver her." Isn't that amazing? It's a little bit, yet great seeing. See his humanity. Then it wants to see finally, these words show us that Christ came to rejection. He came to rejection. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And you think of how that word accomplished, as I have said, it brings out this idea filled, as we talked at the beginning of the meeting, all through the Old Testament, there was this waiting for the Messiah to come. The moment has come. Where does Messiah lie? In the manger. No room for them in the inn. Why was a young girl like that? Childbirth. Why is she turned away to a stable? While we can understand that the inn was full, there was no room. Was there no compassion for a young woman like this? But no room. And they evidently saw her poverty. Do you think of this? The days were accomplished. The days were filled up. Christ came forth.
And at the very outset, there was the evidence of rejection. That was the rejection that our Savior was to know continuously through his ministry. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. No room. No room. This same Savior is still despised today. Yea, very especially at this time of year. We think of the privilege that many of the ungodly, even in our own land here, despite all of the darkness, we think of the privilege that many have to be reminded of the story of Jesus Christ. Yet at this Christmas time, people's thoughts are filled with presents and food and parties, not that all of those things are wrong in themselves. But in all of that busyness and occupation, so little consideration of Jesus Christ himself. Certainly many are saying in their hearts, no good. No good. May that not be the case over any soul in the meeting tonight or anyone listening to this message. May it not still be the case in your life. No good. As we think of this great message, the time was filled up. The days were accomplished. In the fullness of time, Christ came. There's a Savior for sinners. When you come sinner to Christ, may every one of us as the Lord's people rejoice in Christ coming. May it be true that there is room in our lives. May the Lord take his word and bless it to us. Poor Brother Charles comes to lead us in the final carol. We'll bow together to this. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for your precious word. Pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to take it and write upon all of our hearts. Oh, Lord, we ask that this Christmas time that will be true in our homes and in our individual lives, that our hearts are filled with the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. Minister on to our hearts. Give the thanks for the refreshments, bless them, to us in our fellowship together, and receive his precious name.